This is Parshas Korach, Shishi. You have been fortunate, those of you who have been listening to the first five aliyos, to hear them explained so beautifully by Rabbi Menachem Liebtag. And he covered almost all of the narrative of the story of Korach and his ultimate end. The story was, of course, a story of the challenge that Korach hurled at the very institution of Kohuna, at the fact that Aaron was the Kohen Gadol and his sons would follow him as Kohanim Gadolim and as ordinary Kohanim. This is Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, and I've been asked to complete Parshas Korach, just the last two aliyos, which move away from the narrative and focus on certain mitzvos that have to do with Aharon and his descendants. If we start at Shishi, we see that there really are several psukim before we get to the mitzvos, which still are kind of the residual aspects, the leftover loose strings, as it were, of the story of Korach. The pasuk begins at Shishi. You'll remember that just before Shishi, all representatives of all of the tribes put forward their staffs, and the staff, the mate of Aaron, blossomed. This was an indication, a miraculous indication, that God indeed himself, Kaviyochol, chose Aaron as the Kohen. Now, what was to be done with this staff that miraculously blossomed? So the Torah tells us, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Hoshev es matei Aaron lifnei ho'edus. Lemishmeres laos livnei Mary. Put this mate next to the edus, next to the luchos, to the tablets in the Mishkan, so that the staff should be a mishmeres, a sign, a well-kept sign for all those who would be rebellious. Usachal telunosom me'olai velo yamuzu. So that the various complaints that have been going on against me, against God, will stop, and the people who are so blaspheming me will not die. And so this staff was going to be kept forever as a mishmeres in a very, very special place. Vayomer Moshe ka'asher tzivo Adonai oso kein oso. And indeed, Moshe did this. In reviewing this week's Parsha with you, I intend to draw a little bit from the commentary of Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, who uses this specific Parsha and the psukim that we just read to convey a very, very important point, a point that is always important throughout Jewish history, but was especially important during Rav Hirsch's time, that is, the second half of the 19th century. Rav Hirsch draws many parallels between the fact that the Kohanim were asked to be separate from, were chosen as separate from the rest of the people. And as we will see in the rest of the Parsha, the Kohanim themselves had to be very careful not to approach, as it were, too closely those things which were holy. They could approach them certain times, certain ways, under certain conditions, but not on other times, other ways, and other conditions. For Rav Hirsch, this is very similar to the prohibition that all the Jewish people had issued against them not to come too close to the mountain at the time of Matan Torah. It was a hagbolo, a boundering off, a bounding off, a demarcation line beyond which the people could not go. And so too, there is a demarcation in the Mikdash, in the Holy Temple, or in the desert, in the Mishkan. There is a demarcation line beyond which the people cannot go. Only the Kohanim can go, and even the Kohanim have their various restrictions. What is the meaning of this concept of Hagbolah, of boundering off, of not letting people approach too closely? For Rav Hirsch, this is the essence of the Torah. The Torah wants to emphasize that the Torah was given to the people. The people did not create the Torah. In modern times, beginning just before Rav Hirsch's time, people began to believe that the Torah is something which emerged from a nation. No, the Torah is teaching us here, no, the Torah was given to you by God. And you can't approach it. You can't come too close to it. In the words of Rav Hirsch, of course, in Hebrew translation, HaHagbolah ba'o lahoros, this boundering off, this limit, this barrier beyond which the Jews could not go to approach the Torah, could not go to approach the Mikdash, but only the Kohanim couldn't, even they couldn't do just anything, had to be careful in their approach. This teaches us, Shehatoro higio el ha'om, the lo hispatcho mitocha om, that the Torah came to the nation. It reached the nation from a source outside of itself, from God. And it didn't develop from within the nation. Extremely, extremely important point, a basic point in our religion. And so we see by the fact that Aaron was chosen and indicated now by this blossoming stick to be placed in the very center of the Mikdash is a symbol not just of the incident of Aaron's stick blossoming, but it's a symbol of the very essence of Torah. Torah was given to us, and it was given to us with certain conditions, certain restrictions, etc. We did not invent the Torah. And now the Torah continues and says, still in the narrative mode, the story continues. Vayomru b'nei Yisrael el Moshe hein govanu ovadnu kulonu ovadnu. We are dying, we are expiring, we are lost, all is lost. Because kol hakorev hakorev el mishkan adono yomus ha'im tamnu ligvoa. It seems that the closer a person gets to God, to the temple of God, to the dwelling of God, the more likely he is to die. Have we ended dying? Is it over? The people are learning a lesson here, that they cannot stay close to the chotzer, to the Yoel Moed. In the words of Rashi, Ein anu yicholim lihiyos zihirin bekach. We can't be careful. Kulanu rashoim lihikones lachatzar o hel Moed. We're all permitted, which is true, all Jews who are pure, who are not Tomei, are permitted to go into the temple courtyard. But if one goes too close, he'll die. Are we just abandoned to our death? Again, drawing upon Rav Hirsch's commentary, he says here that worshipping God, the people are beginning to realize, is what we would call today walking a tightrope. You can't be too far, but you also can't be too close. This is the lesson of this parsha. In the words of Rav Hirsch, Bipachtom, in their fear, in their panic, Tiaru yofe es hamishol hatsar v'amisukon. They're describing so well here the very narrow path, the tightrope, the dangerous tightrope, the dangerous narrow path. Shekol Yehudi omeid bo mul mikdash Hashem, which every Jewish person stands on this tightrope when he stands opposite God's temple. Rav Hirsch quotes a beautiful sifri, which brings this out so beautifully. Korov lo nichve, Rochok mimeno tzonon. If a person gets too close to God, he gets scorched. If he's too far from God, he freezes of cold. You've got to find the right balance. The Pasuk continues at the beginning of Perek Yud Ches. Vayomer Hashem el Aharon ato uvonecho uveisovicho itoch tisu es avon hamikdosh. When it comes to the Jewish people's fear of getting too close, yes, they had to be careful not to come too close. But ultimately, you are the ones responsible. You will bear the sin of getting too close. V'ato uvonecho itoch tisu es avon kuhunasche. It seems that the Kohanim are being charged with two responsibilities. And if they do not keep those two responsibilities, then they will bear the sin, suffer the consequences. And these responsibilities are, number one, seeing to it that those who are not appropriate to draw too close, or those who are not appropriate to offer certain kinds of offerings, the Kohanim are responsible to see to it that those unqualified people, non-Kohanim mainly, are not, do not push themselves or do not go beyond the point where they are permitted to go, number one. And also the Kohanim themselves are responsible to see to it that they do the approach correctly, that they can and must offer korbanos, but they must do so in the proper ritual manner, with the proper intentions, with the proper attitude, the proper behavior. Otherwise, they will bear the sin of the role of the kohuna. Now, the Torah goes on to say that it's not only the Kohanim, that smaller portion of the tribe of Levi, that actually offered the korbanos and has the responsibility of seeing to it that no one, quote, draws too close, end quote. In other words, no one does what is inappropriate in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Torah says there's another group, and that is the rest of the tribe of Levi. They too have certain privileges, as we will see, and responsibilities. And the Torah continues in Pasuk Beis. V'games achecho mate Levi shevet ovicho. And also your brothers, the staff of Levi, tribe of Levi, but mate means the staff of Levi. Shevet ovicho, the tribe of your father. Hakrev itoch, bring them close to you. V'ilavu olecho vishor sucha, let them be your companions, let them connect to you and serve you. You and your children, the Kohanim, they will be actually in the presence of the Ohel Ho'edos, in the presence of the inner sanctum. But the Leviim, the non-Kohanim members of Shevet Levi, they will have two roles. Number one, hakrev itoch, bring them close to you, with you, because in a certain way, the Leviim were with the Kohanim. They served alongside of them. How? The Sifri, Rabbi Akiva in the Sifri says, lahazhir es haldiim bishir al duchanom, that while the Kohanim were busy offering, slaughtering, sprinkling the blood, putting the meat on the fire, etc., of the sacrifice, at that time, the Leviim were singing. They were reciting songs, the songs of Tehillim, songs of Psalms. And that was the way in which Hakrev Itoch, they are actually brought to you. They're serving right side along with you. You're serving by doing the actual procedures of the sacrifice. They're serving alongside of you, with you, itoch, by singing. But that's only one of their jobs. There's another job, and that is, v'ilavu alecha v'ishor sucha. They will be your companions, and they will serve you. Because there are many ways in which Leviim actually served in the Mishkan. They closed the gates, and they could be available for all sorts of ways to support the Kohanim. For example, Shechita, Hefshet, Nituach, the earliest stages of slaughtering the animal, flaying it, and dismembering it, did not have to be done by a Kohen. So who then did it? Well, the Levian did it. They pitched in and took some of the physical burden off of the shoulders of the Kohanim. V'ilavu olecha, v'shorsucha, v'shomru mishmartucha, u'mishmeres kol ha'ohel. The Levian had another position, another responsibility, and that was to stand guard at various points of the Mishkan while the Jews were in the wilderness. And ultimately, Levium had the responsibility of standing guard at various positions outside the perimeter of the Beis HaMikdash. But although they had peripheral positions, stations, or mishmaros, ach el kli hakodesh v'el hamizbeach lo yikrovu, the Levium were not permitted to come close to the holy vessels, nor to the actual altar, meaning they could not use the vessels, nor could they offer themselves korbanos, sacrifices, on the Mizbeach, on the altar. Because if they did, v'lo yomusu gam heim gam atem, they, the Levium, and you, Mr. Cohen, you also will die. In other words, they will die because they've done something they're not qualified for. You will die because you were not careful to keep them away from doing those things for which they were not qualified. V'nilvu alecho, they will be your companions, they will work alongside of you in certain ways. V'shomru es mishmeres ohel moed l'chol avodas ha'ohel, they will stand guard, they will watch the temple, they will watch the tent of assembly, as far as all the avodos are concerned, but they will not come closer than that. V'zor lo yikrav aleichem. A non-Kohen, a non-Levi, he cannot come even as close as Leviim could come. So we see this concept, which Rav Hirsch relates to the Hagbolo, relates to the boundary set against permitting the Jewish people to come too close to the mountain where the Torah was given. Here too, the Zorim, the non-Levium, the Levium themselves, have limits. They can only go just so far. But nevertheless, Levium had a certain position, and that was Vishomru es Mishmeres. They did have the position of singing, as we mentioned, other chores, but also the task, the assignment, the mission of Vishomru es Mishmeres, of standing guard. However, they stand guard in what Chazal tell us are 21 stations. However, the Levium stand guard at three stations. I'm sorry, the Kohanim stand guard at three stations. And here the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Hey, Ushmartem, you, the Kohanim, should stand guard as Mishmeres HaKodesh, as Mishmeres HaMizbeach, should stand guard against the inner sanctum of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach. V'lo yihyeh od ketzef al b'nei Yisrael. If you guys, if you Kohanim, are standing guard properly, there will be no more anger, no more ketzef, no more rage against the Jewish people. And the Pasuk continues, speaking to Aharon, Va'ani hine lokachti es acheichem alviyim mitoch b'nei Yisrael. I've chosen your brothers Levium out from the midst of the rest of the Jewish people, and I've given them to you as a gift. Lochem matono nisunim l'Hashem. They're given to you as a gift. However, do not think, as Rashi points out, yochol la'avodaschem. You might think the Kohen would say, oh great, the Levium were given to me as a gift by God. Now I have a servant. I have someone who can work for me. I have a slave. I have a maid. No. Because, as Rashi puts it, you might think, shel hedyot, that even ordinary work a Levi must do for a Kohen? No. The Pasuk continues and says, Matono Nesuna, they're a gift for you, all right, Lashem, to do God's work, La'avodas avodas ol moed, to serve in certain capacities in the tent of assembly. But that's as far as the Leviim are concerned. Now the Pasuk continues, V'yato uvonecho itecho, you, Aaron, and your children with you, tishmeru es kehunaschem. No simple matter. You have to watch your job. You have to be careful to do it right. L'chol devar ha-mizbeach, for all the functions and all the procedures which have to be done at the altar, and they are many. You have the responsibility of tishmeru es kehunaschem, of doing them right. And you also have a responsibility of ulami beis laparoches, to take care of those ritual procedures which took place mi beis laparoches, inside the curtain, in the innermost sanctuary of the Holy Temple. There too you have your responsibilities. Va'avadetem avodas matono. Here you must do your work, and your work is a gift, meaning God will consider the work that you do as a gift that you give him. Now here comes the paradox. It's a gift that you give to God, but who gave you this gift? Etein es kehunaschem. I, God, gave you this gift. V'hasor ha-korev yumos. Any non-kohen who comes close and brings these korbanos will die. So Rav Hirsch again, as I said, I'll be drawing from him a bit more in this shiur than I've done in the past. Rav Hirsch points out what a wonderful, wonderful paradox. It's a gift that the Kohanim give. Their service is their gift. Who gave them it? God. God gave them a gift to give to him, which is basically true of everything we have in life. All the things that we give to God are things that we have earned and worked hard for, but ultimately depend upon God to give us. God gives this to us, we give it back to him. Now the Torah continues and gives the list of the matnos kohuna, of the various gifts which the Jewish people had to give to the Kohen, as we will see just before Shvi. The Kohen had no portion in the land of Israel, no portion whatsoever, but he was sustained by the various gifts that the Jewish people had to give to him. And here we learn about the importance of those gifts and the nature of those gifts, what they were, and also of their importance. And they were important because the Kohen had to recognize and be cognizant that these gifts were given to him so that he would be able to do his job. They were given to him as a privilege and not as something to in any way disgrace. So the Pasuk says, Hashem says to Aaron, V'ani hinei nosati l'cho es mishmeres trumo soy. First of all, I gave you truma. Truma, we know, is that part of when a person has grain or fruits and brings them into his granary and packages them in bushels, or brings them to Gemar Malacha, brings them to a point where they're now ready for the market or ready to be consumed, then every Jew must give some of it to a Kohen as Truma. Even a little bit, min HaTorah, chito achas poteres es hakri. Min HaTorah, the slightest one kernel is enough, although Chachamim defined, of course, larger proportions, up to 1/40th for a charitable person, 1/60th for a stingy person, 1/50th for the average guy. But this is number one, and I'm giving it to you with a mishmeres. In other words, you can't just treat it any old way. You have to guard it and eat it according to certain halachos which dictate how you eat truma and what kind of pleasure you can get from it. L'chol kodshei v'nei Yisroel, I'm giving you everything that is uplifted from the Jewish people. What I'm calling here truma is just one of the things. Many of the gifts were raised up and therefore also deserve to be called truma. But these trumos, which include all the gifts that you're going to be getting, all 24 of them, l'chonisatim l'moshcho, I'm giving this to you to make you great. Meaning, this is not your dole. This is not some handout that you're getting. You're getting something through which you will always remember that where your food comes from. Your food comes from your responsibility to serve God, to serve the Jewish people. For you, ulvanecha l'chok olam. It's not just for Aaron in your lifetime, but it's for your children. It's an eternal statute. When it comes from those karbonos which are kodesh kodoshim, then you will have to eat the pieces of the karbon, the meat, which is permissible to eat. You will have to eat it within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. Kol karbonom, all your sacrifices, l'chol minchosom, l'chol chatosom, whether it's various karbonos mincha or various karbonos chatos, and there are various kinds of offerings that are given in the Gemara, Meseches Zvochim, Daf Nun Daled, tells us that the kol karbonom comes to make sure that we understand that every sacrifice, indeed, even the oil, the log of oil, which the Mitzorah had to bring, which we studied together back in Parshas Tazria. In fact, I was the teacher of that specific passage. That too belongs to the Kohen, and he has to eat it within the temple confines. And l'chol minchosam includes even those korbanos mincha which are not voluntary nedavos, voluntary gifts, but rather the minchas ha'omer and the minchas kenaos. They too were allowed to be eaten by the Kohen under certain strictures and certain restrictions. And similarly, ulechol chatosom, even the asham nozir, even the korban which a nozir breaks, not because he sinned, but because he became tamei accidentally, he too can find a refuah that korban and can do it wherever he chooses. I'm sorry, can eat it only in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. And also ulechol ashamam asher yoshivu li, and even the gezel hager, if someone steals something from a ger and the ger dies and leaves no heirs, leaves no yorshim, that too belongs to the Kohen. Kodesh kodoshim l'chahu ulevonecha. Va'kodesh ha'kodoshim tochlenu. When it comes to these things, the karbonos which are classified as kodesh kodoshim, which are included in the ribuy, in the elastic phrases, kol karbonom, kol minchosom, kol chatosom, all of these kodesh kodoshim, have to be eaten in the temple confines. They can't be eaten just anywhere within the walls of Yerushalayim. Kol zochor yochal oso. Only the male kohanim can eat them. Kodesh yeloch. But that is the kodesh kodeshim. Now the Torah moves on to the kodeshim kalim, to a korban shlomim, to a korban toda, where the kohen gets other sections of meat, the chozev oshok, the chest bone, the thigh bone. That's different. V'zelecha trumas matonom l'chol tenufos b'nei Yisrael, l'chol nisatim ulvonecha v'livnosecha itcha l'chok olam. The meat from those lesser sacrifices from kodeshim kalim can be eaten by your sons and daughters. Kol tohor b'veischo yochal oso. And they do not have to be eaten in the temple confines. They can be eaten anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim. So here we have kodeshim, kodeshe kodeshim, the holiest of the sacrifices, which can only be eaten by zichre kohuna, by male kohanim, and only within the temple courtyard. Then we have the kodeshim kalim, for example, the chozev oshok, which can be eaten by any person in the Kohen's family, including his children, his wife, his female children, his female slaves, for that matter.
And they could be eaten anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim, within the walls of the city of Yerushalayim. And then we come in Pasuk Yud Beis to what's called Kodshei Gvul, to those holy things which are not sacrifices and do not have to be eaten in Yerushalayim at all, but can be eaten anywhere. Kol Chelev Yitzor, all the fat of the oils, meaning all of the best of the olives, olive oil, V'chol Chelev Tirosh V'dogon, and all of the best of the wines and the grains, Reshisom Asher Yitnu L'Hashem L'chon Isatim. Here we're referring to Truma, what's called Truma Gedola, which is called Reshis, because you don't have to give everything away. In fact, you're not allowed to take the whole field and say, I'll be so general, I'll give my whole vineyard to the Kohanim. It has to be Reshis, just Reshis. The Gemara tells us, Sheshioreho Nikorin. It's only part of it. You take part of your crop and give it to the Kohen. How much? Again, Min HaTorah, the slightest amount, but you give the best, the Chelev, the fattest, the best. And it's given to you. It's given to you, Mr. Kohen. Bikurei Kol Asher Biartzom Asher Yoviu Lashem Lecho Yiyah. Furthermore, the first fruits, the Bikurim, are also brought to you. L'cho yihiyeh, they should be yours. And they have to be eaten under certain conditions, and they are kol tohor beveischa yochlanu. Everyone in your family can eat these bikurim. It's interesting to note the distinction between Pasuk Yud Beis, where we're speaking of truma, where it says, asher yitnu l'ashem. Truma is given, as I said, only after the stuff, the fruits, the vegetables, the grain, the wine, oil, has been brought in from the field and is now ready for packaging, for marketing. It's Gemar Malocha. Then it's yours. But therefore, you've got to give it. Asher Yitnu Lashem. Bikurim is something that happens on the field. You see the fruit on the tree, the date, the olive, whatever on the tree, and you say, ah, that's going to be Bikurim. Doesn't need Gemar Malocha. You bring it straight from the field. It never becomes yours in any sense. So therefore, it doesn't say Asher Yitnu, you will give, but rather Asher Yoviu, you bring Bikurim, you give Terumah. And the pasuk continues with more things which belong to the Kohen. Kol Cheirem BiYisroel L'cho Yihiyeh. Suppose a person says, I want to make my stamp collection holy. I want to make my jewelry holy. I want to make my field holy. I want to make my animal holy, but I don't want it to be a sacrifice. And I don't want it to be sold for temple purposes. I just want it to be holy. I'm giving it away. It's cherem, kodesh. Well, then who gets that? It goes to the Kohen. Kol cherem b'Yisroel l'cho yihiyeh. And another type of gift for the Kohen. Kol peterechem, every firstborn from the womb, l'chol bosor, whether it's a kosher animal, whether it's a donkey, whether it's a person, chol bosor asher yakrivu l'Hashem ba'odom uva'behemo yiyeloch. When the person gives the firstborn, it belongs to you. Ach, but when it comes to certain of these firstborn, you don't actually give the firstborn, but you redeem the firstborn. Ach podosif des b'chor ha'odom. You redeem the firstborn male child, human child. V'yes b'chor ha'behemo ha'tumeyo tifte. And you redeem the firstborn donkey. You give a sheep instead of that donkey. And when it comes to redeeming a human being, the oldest male, ufeduyov mi ben chodesh tifte. You redeem him only after he has survived for a full month, on the 31st day of his life. Kesef, you give him 5 shekel, and the shekel ought to be assessed b'shekel hakodesh, as the holy shekel, which consists of esrim gerohu. There's 20 small amounts of gold, of silver, called esrim, called gero. You take 20 of these, 20 ma'os, 20 small measures of silver, and that constitutes a shekel. But that's when it comes to the Bechor Odom, or the Bechor Behema Tumeya, which is redeemed for a sheep. However, when it comes to a Bechor Behema Tahora, Ach Bechor Shor, or Bechor Kesev, or Bechor Eis, firstborn cow, firstborn sheep, firstborn goat, Lo Sifte, they are not redeemable, but rather Kodesh Heim. They are like Karbonos, and therefore, as Domam Tizrok al HaMizbeach, their blood is sprinkled upon the altar, V'yes Chelbom Taktir, and their Chelev, the fatty parts, are consumed upon the fire of the altar, Ishel Reach Nichoach L'Hashem, they're brought as a fragrant offering to God. That is the Korban itself, the Emurim, those parts of the Korban which are consumed upon the Mizbeach. But what about the rest of the meat, which consists of a lot of meat? That belongs to the Kohen too. Uvisarom yihi yeloch, kachazei hatenufa, uchisho kayomin lecho yihiyeh. That's yours. That meat is yours to be eaten just like the chest bone and the thigh, right thigh bone of every Korban Shlomim also belong to you. Kol terumas hakodoshim asher yorimu b'nei Yisrael Hashem. Now, interestingly, this pasuk started off with a general statement. That was what's called a klal. And that klal said, in general, there are things which belong to the Kohanim. And that's back in pasuk ches, v'yadaber Hashem el Aaron, Hinei nosati lecho es mishmeres trumosoi lechol kodshei v'nei Yisroel lechol nisatim. That's a klal. Then a general statement. Then we got into the particulars. Truma, bikurim, kodshei kodshim, kodshei kalim, chozei v'shok, b'chor behema tahora, b'chor behema tumeya, b'chor odom, etc. Now we're getting back to a klal, a general statement. Kol trumas hakodoshim. So it's a klal pratu klal situation. General, specific, general again. Hashem yorim uvnei Yisrael Hashem nisati lecho levonecho levnosecho itcho lecho olam bris melach olam hu lefnei Hashem. It's going to be a covenant of salt. Salt never spoils. This covenant is forever. Lecho uzaracho itoch, for all time. Then the pasuk adds on something which almost would seem obvious, and that is, okay, Kohanim, you got your work cut out for you. You are the ones who bear the responsibility for every aspect of this temple. You've got quite a burden. On the other hand, you also have quite a few gifts to sustain you and to remind you about your special mission. And now realize that there's one thing you will not have. You will not have a portion in the land of Israel. In their land you should have no nachala, no portion, no heritage, no inheritance. Rashi teaches us that this means when the Jewish people go to war and rightfully are allowed to take part in some of the booty of that war, the Kohanim have no share in that. God says, I, God, am your portion. I am your lot. I am your inheritance. It's me. You spend your time with me and not out there on the farm. B'soch b'nei Yisrael. And so we have finished the sixth aliyah. We are now up to Shavi'i. We finished 6 with Rabbi Liebtag, you finished 5 with me. Now you finished number 6. Yetz Hashem, tomorrow we'll go on and do the last aliyah from Shavi'i.